Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of December 5th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. So, D.R., there have been, there's been a drought in the southeastern United States for the last months. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, much of the southeastern United States is in a severe drought. And there's an area I read somewhere that is comparable to the size of California, which, of course, mm-hmm. has been in a severe drought for a long time. And
yep.
there have been now fires and tornadoes in November in Tennessee to the point where the town of Gatlinburg or something burned
Gatlinburg,
down.
Gatlinburg. Yep.
Did
yep.
you see that?
Yes. Just a horrific story. At least 10 confirmed deaths. And several injuries as a result of these extreme wildfires in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Some of the very searchers, according to USA Today, have lost homes and family members of their own. Most refuse to go home despite being told to take breaks. Just a complete devastation. And again, you know, when's the last time you've heard of wildfires in late November, early December? You know, after
in the
Thanksgiving.
Southeast.
Yeah, in the southeast, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the various articles draw the barely hidden connection to climate change, right?
Mm-hmm.
The changing weather patterns, a severe drought. I mean, you know, the drought is at least exacerbated by climate
yes.
change, right?
And I was discussing. With a friend, sort of the tragic irony that where this is taking place. It's taking place in Tennessee. Obviously, we know potentially Tennessee's most famous resident is Al Gore, who was the former senator who ran in 2000. And what I mean by the tragic irony is if you recall, when Gore ran, Gore actually lost Tennessee, his own home state. The perception at the time was that he lost because residents thought he was an alarmist on this issue. Think about that, and then think about how 16 years later, that same state voted, unfortunately, for a man who says that this is all a hoax. The irony of that.
The place is burning down.
Yes.
I mean, literally,
3 weeks after 3 weeks after that vote, and 16 years after that vote, where their literal native son, who tried to raise awareness about this issue and try to say this is a problem that's going to affect Tennessee and every other part of the country and world, his words were rejected. And it's like, you know, what's the old saying? Hard ears you don't hear, by and by you will feel.
I mean, the you know, my heart goes out to anyone who has lost their home in a wildfire. God knows I wouldn't want to have it. But the same, you know, and it's not even clear that if the people in Tennessee were doing everything they conceivably could do about global warming, that it would have mm-hmm. changed this event, right? But still in all, you wonder, you know, what does it take? What is the messaging? Who is at fault for the mm-hmm. fact that the obvious connection to climate change here is being missed? And it's not part mm-hmm. of the conversation. I mean, everyone's standing around down there saying, oh, my God, we've never seen this before. It's the worst fire in human history.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, duh, what did you think was going to happen? And
mm-hmm.
is it, you know, do you say, let them eat cake? Let them, you know, this is what they wanted? I don't think so. I mean, that's a very cruel thing, and I guess I'm not saying that, right? But on the other hand, say, how can you come to terms with the fact that these people who are suffering in this instance
mm-hmm.
actively reject the science that explains what's going on?
Exactly. And there was a rawstory.com notes that 4 years ago, Tennessee passed a law that allows teachers to introduce denialism when discussing this issue. You can literally peddle denialism in the public schools in Tennessee.
Well, on a human level, you know, we extend our sympathy to the people who have lost homes there. I hope that, somehow there's some kind of sea change, not just in Tennessee, but globally, about the connection between these events, the obvious connection that is you can't ignore, because there's other global events. Let's just tick off the other ones. There's many reports, I can't even keep up with them all, that the Great Barrier Reef in Australia is essentially dead, right? It's gone. It's all burned up, all white. And that I keep seeing these reports, and they tend to be a little confusing, but there are these charts charts showing the Arctic sea ice extent.
Right? Yes.
So now this is November, December. We're going into the Arctic winter, and we're at the, I guess, the height of summer down in the Antarctic. But in the Arctic, there's just not as much ice. And for some reason, there's really warm air being blown into the Arctic Circle. The ice is not forming. And there's this, like, really bizarre, out of character, I mean, even for the slowly decaying ice. I mean, it's like the collapse of the whole Arctic ice sheet happening now. Like, did you see anything about that anywhere?
Yes, there have been a number of great stories by Peter Sinclair of Climate Crocs, and also I think Chris Mooney of the Washington Post has also been on this as well. Just, you know, the level of horror that climate scientists are expressing as a result of the fact that, you know, the Arctic is basically, you know, in a death spiral, basically.
Right, right.
And, you know, obviously as the Arctic goes, so goes the rest of the world. And yet, you know, in places, you know, in prominent parts of this world, especially right here in the good old USA, there are people who remain deaf, dumb, and blind.
Well, speaking
it's just none so blind as those who refuse to see.
I mean, the Arctic thing is a story that isn't going to go away, and we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, part then of the that kind of denial you just referred to, in I don't mean to keep presenting this. We got to search for positive things to do, right? To react to this wall of bad news. But I mean, the New York Times had a interview with our president-elect, in which he whiffled and pooted about having an open mind about climate change and whether or not he had an open mind around the Paris Accord, which was hailed across you know, all kinds of news media as Trump signaling an openness to talk about saving the climate accord. I would urge anyone who's thinking about it to go read the actual response the guy gave, and it's just a word salad. It meant nothing. I mean, the guy is committed to climate denial, and then his guy Priebus was on Fox. I mean, talk about a monster's ball. Priebus went on Fox and said that climate denial is the default position of Mr. Trump. So please don't kid yourself, right?
Exactly, exactly. It is. You know, as you know, I'm horrified by this argument that's been peddled in some circles that somehow, if somehow a climate activist can get to Ivanka Trump, she can talk her father into reversing his position. First of all, how do we know that Ivanka Trump is not herself a denier? I mean, the sort of sophistry that's involved in that sort of argument is just sort of breathtaking. It's being peddled over and over again. Politico.com recently had a story promoting this malarkey, and it's like, you know, the response to Trump's position is activism, is, you know, what Bill McKibben calls for, you know resistance, you know trying to convince people that his position is wrong, and you know, pushing for urgent and direct action. The response to Trump's position is not being naive and embracing a position that a six-year-old would reject. And I think that, and I would encourage people that the next time they see one of these articles saying Ivanka Trump can somehow convince her father to change his position, to basically take that article and toss it in the trash, because that's all it's worth.
I would say that, I mean, they should write a letter to the editor and get that in the paper, the opposition. I mean, there was an article that probably many people have seen, but it's called Six Rules for Resisting the Autocrat, written by some woman who came out of Russia. And one of her first rule was, believe what the autocrat says.
Exactly.
Right? Believe what Putin says, because he intends to do that. believe if Trump says he's going to pull out of the Paris Accord, don't be fooled or lulled into some hope that if he mutters this vague word that somehow he might not do the most awful thing you can think of. He intends to do it. And so you need to maintain resistance and maintain objection to these things as they come down the pipe.
I think there are some people who can't grasp the concept that some people are as vile as they hold themselves out to be in public. And the reality is sometimes if somebody holds themselves out to be vile in public, they are in fact
vile.
That vile.
Well, speaking of vile in public, there's another little outrage to add to the pile of outrages here. We've talked at some length about a guy named Lamar Smith, who heads the House Science Committee, Science and Technology Committee. And this guy, this witch hunter, has been sending out subpoenas to state attorneys general and environmental groups. But I guess just in the last couple of days, these guys have the U.S. House Science Committee retweeted a tweet from Breitbart News, the Steve Bannon hate fest, right? This white supremacist website of Steve Bannon retweeted an article saying that climate change is a bunch of hooey and that the Arctic is actually frozen and the alarmists are losing. Did you see that? I mean, are you as furious as I am?
Furious, but not surprised, because if you go back to, you know, over a decade ago to when James Inhofe ran the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, he would issue press releases quoting denialist websites, basically saying, you know, there's been no warmings since the late 1990s and all that sort of stuff. So what Mr. Smith is doing is simply a reprise of this tactic. Obviously, climate scientists are pushing back against this, but it basically goes to show you the problem of what happens when you have malevolent forces in positions of power.
Yeah, and I think let's just talk about that for a minute. Malevolent forces in positions of power, which I think you have to say it out loud. These people are, they don't think like you and I do, right? They have their own agenda, and the question is, how do you resist? I mean, I would submit, I mean, there's lots of articles, I'll try and put, you can find these things online, but number one is don't allow it to become normal, right? Recognize that this stuff these people are doing is outside the bounds of normal politics, right? And that when, who was it? The Trumpster took a phone call from the guy in Pakistan and was making nice with the guy in Pakistan without realizing that he was going to irritate the people in India. I mean, but anyway, put that aside. You have to be what Trump is doing is not normal, needs to be resisted, and you can do it without necessarily getting arrested. You can you can send letters to the editor. You can, in particular, you can support the civic organizations, because I think in an age where the federal government is going to become less, literally more and more autocratic, try and wear down the press, it's the civic society, the non-governmental organizations, the groups that are holding the government accountable but are not part of the government. Those are the places where you have to spend your money, right?
Exactly. This, you know, this could usher in a level of civic activism we have not seen since the 1960s. Trump may well have awakened a sleeping giant of civic activism in this respect. But people obviously have to stay motivated and not get bored or depressed or too angry for their own good, because if that happens, then, you know, the bad guys win.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, there's an article from Joe Roma, look up, but I mean, it's basically these tweets, the sort of half-truth, and then reverse, and say, oh, yeah, I might have supported the Paris Accord. Oh, no. It leaves people exhausted trying to follow what reality is, right? And you need to just not get exhausted by that. Recognize that there is there's an underlying truth that is consistent, and you're not going to like what that truth is, and stay with that. Because the whole goal of someone like Trump is to exhaust your ability to object by having so much flack of truth, half-truth, non-truth, maybe true, it's kind of truthy, but not really truthy, that you don't know what's going on.
And you also have to think about, you know, these efforts to, when you go back to normalization, there's a new you know, when you look at all these news stories about efforts to sort of bring, you know, radicals into these positions of power, yeah, and to try to normalize them. There was a recent report, I guess, that apparently one of the people under consideration for Secretary of State is ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson.
Oh,
how
cool.
Nice.
How nice.
I mean,
I'm sure he would love to go to the Paris Accord and have a nice...
The hits just keep on coming. So, and again, you have to push back and resist and let elected officials know the people who will be making the decisions to confirm or reject these sort of nominees, you know, when they are basically qualified to be, you know, considered by the Senate. Just let your elected officials know who are in the Senate, you know, what you think about this sort of stuff.
I think that's the, so dear listener, do not be weak of heart, maintain your commitment. It is a tough time. It's going to get tougher. We have nothing to offer you but blood, sweat, and tears, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, DR, we'll put up the links to most of what we talk about at the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. Please leave a comment. You can get the links there. You can find the podcast and blog on our Facebook page at massclimateaction/massclimateaction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Overcast or SoundCloud, yada, yada, all those things. You can find us on iTunes. So, DR, we'll close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that we oppose the normalization, in quotation marks, of the Donald Trump absurdity, and that the United States put a price on carbon.
We must insist upon resistance.
Insist upon resistance. I'm going to write that one down, DR. Thank you very much. Anyway, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Keep your spirits up. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.